Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Oh, it makes me happy and sad all together. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland here on the south side, representing Rutherford County. Willie Donick is over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe in Bellevue, holding down the west side of town. Elijah Campbell back at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Yesterday, in the last hour of our show, we unveiled our Nashville sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years, and we started the voting this morning. So the polls have been open for about an hour and 17 minutes, and joining us is...
We got some close races, too.
We do, and we're going to get to that in a bit. But one of our favorites, and he has certainly made the bracket. Some say a little controversial, 7 seed. Thought he was going to be a little bit higher, but nonetheless, he came in as a 7 seed. R.A. Dickey versus Ryan Tannehill, the 10 seed. R.A., how you doing? Good morning.
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, man. How are you?
We are hanging in there. So how do you feel about the 7 seed? Do you feel slighted?
Hey. Look, the seventh seed's okay. But I was born and bred here, man.
I came
from NBA, Davidson County, Williamson County, Nashville Sound. I just for the home deal, I feel like I should be a little bit higher, just because I'm from the area, born and bred.
You are Nashville through and through, and see, that's what we needed in the committee room. See, we need those pitches to help with the seeding and who gets in, and that we could have used that, even though we knew that. But you know, maybe some other committee members needed to hear that you are Nashville through and through. How you doing,
well,
by the way?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I think it's great. This is fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Obviously, we're all in unfamiliar territory. So let me just start with you. How are you and the family doing? How, you know, what are you guys doing with your time? Obviously, we're all staying at home and doing things a little differently. We can't watch sports. We would certainly be talking about the start of the Major League Baseball season, but what's going on in the Dickey household?
Well, I've got a couple of kids who really love to watch baseball on TV, and I'm so sad that TBS isn't showing throwback games from like Dale Murphy's days, or even the 2017 season, which was my last season, would be nice. To click on TBS and check out some old games. But, we're safe and quarantined up here. We've got like a little 40-acre farm, and we're up here on the hill and, you know, tending to our chickens and just trying to be together. A lot of hard life lessons. But I got a senior in high school, and it's really difficult for her. But we're talking around the dinner table every night. I mean, it has created a really cool dynamic in my family, where we get to come around and really be close and share with each other and talk about life problems around the dinner table, which has been kind of a byproduct of something really bad.
I've never told you this story, but here goes. We've got an 8-year-old son, and we've headed down the travel ball circuit, as it's been well documented on the show. We talked about it. Last year was our first season, and of course this season would have been our last year of coach pitch, which makes me very sad as the pitcher, as we headed all new territory of kid pitch, which everybody says buckle up.
So you're saying maybe your pitching career is about to be over, Darren. Is that what you're saying?
It's pretty much over. It's the sad reality that I've had to face, is that I will no longer be, because we don't have any more.
You were just
nothing else behind him.
Too.
All right, so he's it, and we're not planning on having any more, so that's it. My pitching career is about to end. But I will tell you this, that we, the night before he was born, we were invited to a VIP Chewy's opening downtown, in Midtown, in downtown Nashville. So it was the opening before the opening.
And we went with a group, and you were sitting two tables over from us with a big group at your family and everybody. And that was the last meal my wife had before we had our son the next day. The next morning, I think it sent her into labor. The Mexican food sent her into labor.
But you get, got her.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, in all seriousness, you've done the coaching. You've got kids of your own. And what is that element? Because you played for so long, and you have so much to teach, and people can learn so much from you. How much joy do you get out of whether it's your kids or being around a group of kids, you as the coach? How much joy has that brought you over the years?
You know, it's been a lot more concentrated since 17 when I retired. I would kind of get to come in and out of my little guy's life, you know, as you guys know more than most, that you play 162 games in 183 days plus spring training. You're going away from home over 200 days a year. So you only get bits and pieces. And since I retired in 2017, I've gotten a real concentrated, you know, time to pour into my kids. I think one of the things I really enjoy is just giving what you got, you know, like that's, I've been real blessed with the opportunities I've been given. And, you know, nobody among us is a self-made man or woman. You know, we've all had people really pour into us in special ways. And I get a chance to do that. And I don't want to sound corny or hokey, but it really is. It really does feel very fulfilling to be able to give what has been given to me in a way that, you know, like these 13-year-old kids who I'm coaching, you know, they've never been taught how to do an inside move the right way to second base, right? Like they, you know, they're just not around the coaching. And that's not a bad thing. It's just a fact, you know. It's like me knowing how to hook up the internet from the road. I don't know how to do that. But it's been great to do that and to see their eyes get wide open when you show them that, you know, they can just point their toe to second base on the rubber a little bit, which will clear their hips and let them inside turn real easily. And, you know, or to pick off the first, how do you do that? Like, all that stuff is really fun for me. So I've really enjoyed it.
We're talking to R.A. Dickey, of course, born and raised in Nashville, and he is the 7 seed. And right now you can vote by going to 1025 The Game on Twitter. His first-round matchup is Ryan Tannehill. I'm a little biased. Ryan hasn't been in town as long as R.A., so I can go back a long way. And so, R.A., let's go back to something. This picks up on the conversation we're having right now, because I think we're all trying to get creative on how to stay active, right, especially if we have sons or daughters that are trying to do it. We're finding ourselves going out. We're throwing a lacrosse ball around or a baseball around. I mean, we can't do things in groups. We can't have team practice. But one of the things that I always remember about your book and our discussions before, when you were trying to perfect your knuckleball, you would just go throw up against the wall, right? You would throw the ball and try to perfect it, draw a strike zone. I mean, that's the kind of creativity we can have right now during this time.
Yeah. No, I mean, that was probably a real, you know, I would credit that to really changing the trajectory of my career. I mean, I had kind of the head knowledge, but I had to figure out how to get that head knowledge of what's a proper mechanic and how do you release the ball and how do you keep your wrist stiff and how do you land right. I had to build that into my muscle memory to be able to execute a good knuckleball 10 out of 10 times. And, you know, it was hard to find people to play catch with, just like now. And so I would go to – there were two different brick walls I had around town where I would go and had access to, and I'd tape out a little strike zone, and I would throw, you know, 200 balls a day off those walls from varying distances. And those times for me – and, I mean, that was every other day. And with a knuckleball, I'm not saying, you know, I'm not telling kids to go out and throw 200 pitches against a brick wall at full speed. I'm just saying for me as a knuckleballer, I was able to do that, and it really improved me in a way that you could see directly onto the field. But, that's what I'm telling Eli, my son. We have some railroad ties that are part of a wall, and we've taped out a strike zone on that. You know, he'll go out there and he'll do that. He'll throw it against the wall and work on his fielding mechanic, or he'll go in to his windup and work on staying back, or, you know, he'll do the little things that I've tried to teach him over the last few years as he started to pitch in an effort just to build in the right mechanic. And you got to do those kinds of things now. You know, we use these little these little wiffle balls. They're like golf balls with the little holes in them. I'll throw those to him, and he'll hit them with a broomstick, you know, just to try to train hand eye. And you only need a little bit of space for something like that. So it's just a matter of trying to get creative and still work on the things that make you a good baseball player. And that's what I did, even as a professional.
And our generation, we grew up, you know, the video games were around to a degree, but I still think there was a lot of sort of self-development. Like for basketball, I know you played a lot of hoops growing up. If you could just find a hoop in a gym or on a schoolyard or maybe in your backyard, if you were fortunate enough to have one somewhere in the neighborhood, just all you need is a ball and a hoop, and you work on it. It seems like this generation, maybe this is an opportunity for people, for youngsters to find their own way to do a little self-development on their own rather than just rely on whenever your team is practicing. We play so many games now with the kids. Yeah. There's not as much time to work on the reps, true?
I agree. You know, I think if you reflect back on your own childhood, I know when the times I most coveted were the times when I would ride my bike from my house to this little blacktop goal in the middle of the Woodbine area at the boys club. And I would, you know, I'd go there at 2 p.m. And if someone came around, I'd try to get a pickup game going. But for the most part, I was just working on, you know, being Larry Bird. You know, I'd be out there just trying to do my thing. And I think we're in a generation now for sure where things are so much more interactive communally. And there's a lot of good in that. But I think, you know, for me, where I honed most of my skill was just grinding it out on, you know, a basketball goal on West End or a field somewhere where I could throw off a brick wall or whatever. And those are the types of things that, you know, we're forced to do now that we're in quarantine. You know, I'll tell my kids they'll want me to go out and throw with them, I will. But I'll also say, hey, we got a basketball goal in a cul-de-sac. Go get you 100 shots, and then I'll come out. You know, so I think it's a whole different mentality now in this generation. I'm not saying good or bad. I'm just saying it's different.
Chase, go ahead.
We're talking to R.A. Dickey, former Cy Young winner. And R.A., on this show, we have an interesting dynamic because Willie's a big Mets fan. I'm a big Braves fan, so that gets interesting during the summer as, you know, we compete there. But you played in 2017 with the Braves, and that's when this whole thing was kind of – you were starting to see the young pitchers start to come up and hit the major leagues for the first time. So you were around – a lot of these guys that are making up the Braves now. What is it that you saw from them at that time when you went through spring training in that season that kind of made you think this could be something for a team that could be competing for not only the NL East but World Series titles as well?
Yeah, no, that's right. I was exposed early on to, you know, Foltynewicz and Soraka and Fried and, you know, there were a lot of others that have big arms down there. But I think the guys that you're seeing contribute now are guys who were kind of polished well beyond their years. Even when I was there, you could see that they were much more refined, less raw, and you knew they were going to contribute. I didn't think as quickly as they did with the success that they did. Maybe no one could foresee how that was going to transpire. But I tell you, there were four or five of those kids that you knew, I knew that I was kind of holding the reins until these guys developed just a little bit more. And sure enough, that very next year, you know, they went to the playoffs, and then last year they had a really, really good year. And it's most of it is about pitching, as you well know. And to have that youth that's so good so early makes a Braves fan real excited. I know I grew up a Braves fan, and so I'm excited for them. And they're good character guys, too. Like, I got to know Max Fried especially pretty well when I was there. And, you know, you've got a good group of guys character-wise, too.
Why do you think it's worked with Brian Snitker as the manager? Because he gets the job, you know, when Freddie Gonzalez is let go and had been with the organization for so long that he gets this opportunity, but he's hung on to it and, you know, continues to lead them onward and upward. Why do you think that's worked?
Well, Brian Snitker was one of my favorite managers I ever played for. you know, and I played for a lot of good ones, but he's up there on in my top two, really. And one of the reasons that he's there is because he hasn't forgotten in all the years that he's been away from his time as a player how hard the game is. And so he's a good communicator, one. He's got a great temperament and demeanor. You know, he is a good in-game manager. Everybody really has to be to have success in the National League in particular. But he just possesses great leadership qualities from a player's perspective because he lets you be you. You know, he doesn't try to force you into, you know, a system or he identifies your gifts. He communicates well about his expectation and then gives you the freedom to make mistakes up to a certain extent and then, you know, react from those mistakes in hopefully a positive way. He was a great manager for me.
Go ahead. All right, last thing. We had a lot of fun last week with all of our guests because we tweeted out pictures as we were all doing this from home. This is the first time, and Willie and I have been at this for a long time. We've never done shows from our house, so we're, as I said at the beginning, we're all in unfamiliar territory. But we've got some cool memorabilia, sports memorabilia. Everybody's got a piece of memorabilia that is special to them. So we tweeted out pictures that we've got of, and then we let the listeners. And so we got a great response. And then everybody that we talked to, you know, what do you have? And we got some great stories. I have a feeling you can probably one-up everybody in all the stories that we've had. Maybe if you want to throw in a Cy Young, but what is a memorabilia that's near and dear to you at your house or your office or wherever you keep that stuff?
Oh man. Well, you know, let's see. It's hard to tell you a favorite. I have a few. Can I share a few?
Like sure.
I love the Cy Young Award. That's great. It's fun to show people that, but like, I'm much more about, you know, nostalgic memory. And I grew up a Larry Bird fan. And so one of my years in Texas, our clubhouse manager knew how to get to Larry Bird. He found out Larry Bird was a hero of mine. And I come to the clubhouse one day, and in my locker is an autographed Larry Bird game jersey. It says, "Best wishes, R.A., Larry Bird." And so that's one of my favorite.
Wow.
And I have I grew up a Sandy Koufax fan. I have a Sandy Koufax rookie card that I love. And I got to play in the Olympics in Atlanta, and so a bronze medal, that's a fun one. Mm. I have a few that I really love, but most of them don't have to do with me. They're about my memories as a kid, like growing up with the games that I played and the people that I followed. And like I loved Andre Dawson, and I have a personalized Andre Dawson ball because I watched WGN and saw the Hawk so many times on WGN. And those are the things that are most valuable to me, I think. And so those are a few.
That is really cool. By the way, is that Larry Bird jersey in a case with a light on it, right when you come in the front entrance of your house?
I've tried to force feed my son Larry Bird YouTube videos. It's in his room. he's grown up a Stephon Curry fan or
sure.
James Harden fan, right? So that's their Larry Bird, and but it's in his room on display, so he gets to wake up every morning and see double threes staring him out in the face.
That is outstanding. Hey, thanks for doing this. It's always good to catch up with you. Tell your fans out there, you've got a lot of them, to go vote for you on our Twitter page so you can advance to the next round. And you and your family be safe, okay? We'll talk to you down the road.
I appreciate you guys. Y'all hang in there.
All right, that is R.A. Dickey. Always good to catch up with him. We will tell you how you can vote. The voting is open for our Nashville sports bracket. We'll also check in on some results. We'll do that on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.